Okay, today's perek is Perek Tesvav in Sefer Yehoshua, 15th perek. As we continue dividing up the land of Eretz Yisrael, we've already spoken about the Aver HaYardin section, Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Menashe. They get their portion. That was in Perek Yud Gimel. Perek Yud Dalet, in yesterday's section, we talked about Kalev coming and getting Chevron and saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's been 45 years since we went out together and we were the only two Meraglim that came back with a positive report. It's time for me to get my reward. It's time for me to get Chevron. And Yeshua says, you're right. And he gives him Chevron. And now, Perek Tesvav, we have the actual beginning of the majority of Am Yisrael getting their portion. Who's first? Yehuda. That is what this parak is about Shevet Yehuda's borders. Shevet Yehuda, in a word, gets the south part of Eretz Yisrael. What's the south part of Eretz Yisrael? Not what we call Eretz Yisrael today, as we'll talk about in a minute. But the south part, all of you, going from the Dead Sea all the way to the Mediterranean, it's very wide. Yehuda is all across what we call Eretz Yisrael, and then up until Yerushalayim, until the border across horizontally where Yerushalayim is. That is Shevet Yehuda, one of the larger portions of Eretz Yisrael given out, but they're first. They are first on the list, as Yehuda is always first, as we will talk about more in the beginning of Sefer Shoftim as well. Yehuda comes first. Yehuda gets their portion. That's what this parak discusses. It describes the actual borders of Shevet Yehuda's section. We will talk about Yerushalayim, Beis Hashem, again in this parak, and it goes through again listing off Kalev being from Yehuda and getting Chevron. So it describes a little bit what happened, how he got Chevron, how he got the suburbs of Chevron, and we also get into the fact that he needs help, and he says, "Whoever helps me conquer Kiryat Sefer," which is another name for an area in his section, "I will give my daughter's hand in marriage," Achsa, and Asniel ben Kenaz. The first Shofet stands up and he conquers. We'll have to see what the Gemara has to say about his actions. And he gets Kalev ben Yefune's daughter in marriage. We mentioned already yesterday that Kalev and Asniel were really half-brothers. They were half-brothers based on Kalev ben Yefune's mother married Kenaz after his father had died, and therefore they were half-brothers. But it ended up that he married his, Asniel married his niece, the daughter of Kalev. And the Gemara continues going through all of the borders, and all the way at the end it says that they did not kick out and drive out the people who lived in Yerushalayim. That's the last pasuk in the parak. We'll have to talk about the significance of that. So that's, in a nutshell, an overview of the parak, and now let's go through some of the details of the parak as we always do. Says the beginning, Vayehi Agorol Matei Bnei Yehuda L'Mishpachosam, Pasuk Aleph. Yehuda goes first. Why does Yehuda go first? Says the Gemara in Maseches Sota, because he was the one to admit fault. When somebody is a Baal Tshuva, when somebody admits what they do wrong, so then they go to amazing places. The Gemara tells us, "B'makam shebali tshuva omdin ein tzadikim geburim yichol olam odsham." Baal Tshuva sometimes can stand in places where tzadikim from birth cannot stand. Yehuda, as we know, is one of the major stories of tshuva. Right? Two words the Torah tells us in Parshas Vayeshev, tzad kamimeni. After what happens with Tamar, and Tamar didn't want to embarrass him, he says she's right, tzad kamimeni. And who follows his lead? Yehuda has the koach of tshuva, as we know, David HaMelech. David HaMelech, later on in history, as we'll read about in the stories of David and Bathsheba, he also is able to stand up and take the blame and take the guilt, but he was a Baal tshuva. So says the Gemara in Sota Dav Zayin. That's why Yehuda goes first. His chelik is first, and that's why, who else was the other Baal tshuva of the Shvatim? Reuven. Reuven also did, we know, is one of the symbols of tshuva, and that's why he was the first to get the Nachlo Eber Yardin. Reuven, and then God, and Chatzi Menashe. But that's why Yehuda goes first. So what does it say in Pasuk Aleph, continuing? What's the southern border? El Gvul Edo Midbar Tsin Negba Miksei Teman. Vayi Lohem Gvul Negev Miksei Yam HaMelach. Go from the Yam HaMelach, the Dead Sea, go across westward, min alashon apone negba, that's the southern border, go straight across until you hit the Mediterranean, that's the southern border. So if you think about it, there's a lot of what we call Israel today that is not included in that. The whole southern part of the Negev, and Eilat, v'chulus. That's why there is a big halachic discussion. What is the status of those lands regarding this year, Hilcha Shmita, right? We are generally mekel regarding those lands in terms of assuming that produce from those lands do not have Kedusha Shmita. But the big question is, what about Yontif? What do I have to do if I'm in Eilat for Yontif? How many days of Yontif do I keep? That is a major discussion. Rav Sternbach writes in a couple of tshuvas, in Tshuvas Anagas Chelek, Gimel Simin Shilam Adveiz, that's the first place he talks about this. He says, Me Iker Hadin, it seems like you should keep 2 days. It should be Chutz La'aretz. You look in the borders, in our perek, a lot is not included. And even if you want to say, the Am Yisrael came up along the way, and they conquered it on the way, not on the way in, actually, because they came in from the east, as we know, they couldn't go straight in, but says Rav Sternbach, La'anias Daiti, one should keep 2 days. But, he says, I know that's not the minhag. I know the minhag is to treat it like Eretz Yisrael. There is, and Rav Shlomo Zalman says this fascinatingly about a number of halachos. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, if the way that we treat a land legally and jurisdictionally is in a certain way, so that even impacts halacha. So because a lot we treat like Israel, so it could be that's why the minhag is, and it's not a totally wrong minhag to keep 1 day there. Because even if it's really chutz la'aretz, remember the whole idea of 2 days is minhag avasenu biyadenu. So if they never kept 2 days there, so there was never a minhag to keep 2 days there. And that's why Rav Shlomo Zalman says this, he says this regarding 2 days of, which day of Purim also. It could be. Even if there's a part of Yerushalayim that is not within the original borders of Mukaf Chomam, Yemos Yeshua ben Nun, and you can't really see. But we call it Yerushalayim. We call it the jurisdiction, the municipality of Yerushalayim. That itself could have halachic significance. Rav Shlomo Zalman again says this regarding a number of halachas. Again, it's a major machlokas and all these issues, but Rav Sternbach throws up his hands and says, even though I think misvara, you should keep 2 days, because it's really chutz la'aretz, but it is something that the minhag ha'olam is to treat it like Eretz Yisrael. If you look in Yantav Sheni Kelchasa, right, the Sefer Rin, everything you want to know about Yantav Sheni, he says, he quotes the Machlokas here, Ha'ir Eilat Shel Zmaneinu V'Svivo Seha, Perek Yud Ches, Yesh Omrim Shedina Kedina Eretz Yisrael in Yantav Sheni, V'Yesh Omrim Shedina Kedina Chutz La'aretz. He says, G'doli Aposkim say, you should be Machmir in both directions. Meaning you have to be worried. You shouldn't do malacha, but maybe you shouldn't say kiddush. Because if you say kiddush and you shouldn't be saying kiddush, that's also a problem. So you have to be machmir in both ways. Either way, one should ask their local rav or just not be there for a yantif. But that is an important discussion of yantif sheni regarding Eilat. And again, this has to do with the Kedusha Sa'aretz and other halachas. So I was once asked by a Talmud, what about Berachas Kohanim? Should we duchen in Eilat? That's not a problem. Because as we've discussed in the past, Berachas Kohanim has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. It should be done all over the world. For some mysterious reason, we only duchen in Eretz Yisrael every day. Why is that? The Ramah, 500 years ago, quotes 3 different reasons, but each one of them is a stretch. Oh, we're only besimcha in Eretz Yisrael. We're not besimcha in Chutz La'aretz. Other reasons given. But really, the question is better than the answer. But we don't do it. They state stories of the Vilna Gaon that he tried to do it in his time. And in the Maaser Rav, it quotes in the footnotes on the bottom that he was taken to jail the night before he was going to start doing it. And another story is that the Sefer Torah would take in the night before. All these stories, and he took it as a simon that whatever the reason is, we're not supposed to. But again, if you have a suffix, there's no reason not to. So there's no problem with Birchas Kohanim in Eilat. That is in terms of the southern border of Eretz Yisrael, and even if we can be makel in certain areas, it is an important halachic discussion. Okay, we continue now. We continue with the middle section, or towards the northern section of Yehuda's border, Pasuk Zayin, V'ala ha'gvul devira me'emek achor. We remember Emek Achor, that was the place where the whole story of Achan happened, and they had to stone him after he took from the spoils. That was earlier, that was Emek Achor. Vitzafona pone el ha'gilgol, asher nochach l'ma'ale adumim, Ma'ale adumim, right there, in the Tanakh. Asher minegev l'nachal, v'yavar ha'gvul el mei ein shemesh, v'yitotzav el ein rogel. Next, v'ala ha'gvul gei ben Hinom, right, that is the valley. Gei Ben Hinnom is the valley right near the old city of Yerushalayim. El Kesef HaYavusi Minegev, he Yerushalayim. That's where the border was. The border was in Yerushalayim, as we just mentioned in the last year. Yehuda and Binyamin, their border was smack in Yerushalayim. And as we mentioned from the Gemara, that the southeast corner of the Mizbeach had to be cut. You couldn't have a base on that corner because the entire Mizbeach had to be in the Shevet of Binyamin based on a pasuk in Zos HaBracha, Uvenk Seifav Shachein, and that corner stuck into Yehuda. And therefore, you couldn't have that Mizbeach in Shevet Yehuda. The Marsha has a very important comment relating to the Hashkafa behind that idea. Why is it so important to have the Mizbeach all in Binyamin? So a little bit in Yehuda. Says the Maharsha, there in Zvachim, on that Gemara, Dafnun Gimel, Dafnun Dalad, the Maharsha says that Yehuda was the monarchy. Yehuda was the political leaders. So Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted that they were the Gedolei Adar. They were great. David HaMelech, Malchus Beis David. But separation of the political leadership with the spiritual center. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to have that separate. That's the symbol of, says the Marsha, of separating the Mizbeach from David HaMelech. The Gemara, talking here about Yerushalayim, it says, Va'alah HaGvula Rosh Ahar. It went up. We know the Torah does not tell us the word Yerushalayim. We mentioned that back in Perek Yud. That was the first time Yerushalayim is mentioned in all of Tanakh. It's not mentioned in the Torah. It just says, the place that I will show you. The Gemara tells a fascinating story in Maseches Zvachim that David HaMelech wasn't exactly sure where to build the Beis HaMikdash. Right, Yerushalayim. This was Yehuda, Binyamin on the border. The Gemara says in Zvachim Nun Dalid, he wasn't sure. And then he was thinking of Ein Etam. Ein Etam is the highest point. The highest point right near Yerushalayim. Right near where the Beis HaMikdash, right near Har HaMoria. And then he realizes, no, it says, Uvein Ksefav Shachin, between the shoulders, the neck starts at a lower point than one's shoulders. And that's where how the Beis HaMikdash is described. So you see from that pasuk, David HaMelech says, it must be that the Beis HaMikdash should not be in the highest point in the area. It should be a little lower than the highest point. And Ein Etam, says the Gemara, is the highest point. So he picked Har HaMoria. I mean, he must have known that that's where the Akedah was, and that's where Yaakov dreamed, but he didn't know which mountain exactly it was. Didn't know. So that's why, until he had the Siyata Deshmaya to figure it out. Gemiri, the Sanhedrin, Bechagel, Shehuda, Shechina, Bechagel, Benyamin, he goes, V'imadzlidon lei, Mispalek, Tuva, Mutav, Denechtebe, Perta, I'm going to go a little level down. Kedachsiv, Uvenk, Sefav, Shachin. Right, so David HaMelech figured out exactly where to build the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Gemara adds, V'yaldavar ze niskane doeg ha'adomi bedavid. This got Doeg very angry. Doeg, we know, was one of the biggest Baalei Lashon Hara in history. We know he was the one that told Shaul where David was and led to the massacre of Nov, the city of Kohanim, which we'll have to do later in Navi. So Doeg got very upset at David because he figured this out. Why did this make him upset? So the Ben Yehoyada, the Ben Ishchai, right here on this Gemara, says that Doeg realized that there's a connection between Malchus Beis David and Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Appointing a king and building the Beis HaMikdash. He realized. So he says, if this person, David, who wasn't king yet, was able to figure out where to build the Beis HaMikdash, so must be he's supposed to be the king. Not Shaul HaMelech, not any of his descendants. That's why Doeg got so upset, the Gemara says, in that regard. Again, there's a lot of uniqueness to Yerushalayim and Halacha. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Baba Kama that there are many Halachas that don't apply or do apply to Yerushalayim, that don't apply to the rest of Eretz Yisrael, right? The end of Merubah, the end of the seventh parak in Baba Kama. You're not allowed to leave over a dead body in Yerushalayim, right, for burial. You're not allowed to have a bias hamenuga, a house with saras in Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to bring an egla rufa if you find an anonymous corpse closest to Yerushalayim. Many of these halachas don't apply. Yerushalayim has special kedusha. It doesn't become an ir nidachas. Many other halachos can have garbage dumps there. These are halachas, Baba Kama, Pebez Mabez, regarding the uniqueness of Yerushalayim. Rav Moshe Feinstein even writes in one place, it's quoted in the Drash Moshe, on Va'eschanan, that even though Yerushalayim, you don't have more mitzvos in Yerushalayim, so to speak. There are mitzvos that you have to do there, like eating Ma'aser Sheni and eating Netar Avai, but there are no real more mitzvos. But says Rav Moshe, it's a mission at the end of Ksubis. Hakol Malin Yerushalayim. There was more Kedusha there. So to live there, in a certain sense, is more special than even the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Moshe writes in Va'eschanan. In any case, Yerushalayim is unique. We'll get back to it at the end, if we have more time to discuss its uniqueness. Just one ha'ara, I saw one of the Achronim mention, it's fascinating that Yerushalayim, okay, Bahar Mia wasn't the tallest mountain, but it's one of the tallest mountains. So the Beis HaMikdash had to be built on one of the tallest mountains, though the Torah was given on the shortest mountain. So what's the difference between Maimon Har Sinai, which was a momentary getting the Torah, the Anava, whatever we learned, the humility we learned from Har Sinai, while the Beis HaMikdash should be up, and Yerushalayim is Gavah Mikol HaRatzos, and Eretz Yisrael, we keep go up and up and up. So it's not a problem. It's just interesting that you got to think about those two elements. Okay, we continue now. We're describing the borders, and the Pasuk tells us in Pasuk Yudalid, Vayoresh Misham Kalev. Kalev was able to drive out the three giants that lived in Hebron, Sheshai, Achiman, and Talmai. Rashi quotes that this story really happened later, after Yeshua died. The beginning of Sefer Shoftim describes this story. This happened later, but it's put here, Ein Muktamah Me'uchar B'Navi. we would say, that it's put here because the rest of the chalukah is done, so it's repeated here, even though it happened later. Rashi has that ha'ara here, and then it says, now we get into the Kalev story more. And he, Kalev, then went up to the people sitting in Dvir. Dvir was also called Kiryat Sefer, which is also in the suburbs of where he got his nachala. Vayomer Kalev, and Kalev, though he was 85, and though he said in the last parak, I'm strong like I was when I was a teenager, he still says here, he seems like he needs help. Asher yakes Kiryat Sefer ulachada, whoever captures Kiryat Sefer, v'nasati lo as achsa biti le'isha. I will give Achsa, my daughter, to whoever wants. The Gemara says Achsa was a beautiful woman. Whoever saw Achsa would say Achsa, right, to their own wife, because they would see the beauty of Achsa. So that's what they, she was a beautiful woman, but obviously she was a tremendous, Bas Talmud Chacham here, as well, as we'll see, with the Gemara Darshans. So, Vayokada Asniel Ben Kenaz, Kalev's brother, Asniel, wins, and therefore, and defeats, and drives them out, and therefore wins Achsa's hand in marriage. The Gemara says that Asniel Ben Kenaz didn't just, or maybe even didn't conquer physically. The Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Temura. I have it here. Where is that? Maseches Temura. That b'shashen iftar Moshe Rabbeinu l'gan Eden. When Moshe Rabbeinu was about to die, Temura daf tezayin. Amar le Yoshua. He says to Yoshua, "Shal mi meni kol svegel sheish lecha." Any kashas before I die? Moshe says, "You have any questions for me?" So Yoshua says, "Klumi nachti shalachas v'alachti l'makom acher." Did I ever leave your side? I've been with you 24/7. Except when you were on the mountain, but I stayed at the bottom of the mountain. But there's nothing I never learned from you. Fascinating words here. Lo kach kasafta bi, didn't you write in the Torah about me? Umisharso Yoshua ben Nun lo mamash mitocha oel. I never left the tent. And all of a sudden, miyad tashash kochos shel Yoshua, v'nishtachu bimenu gim halachas. All of a sudden, Moshe dies, and he had 300 halachas that he forgot, 700 sveikas. All Bnei Yisrael were going to kill him. They were very upset until Asniel ben Kenaz came back. And he was able to remember and figure out all of the halachas that were forgotten. That's the Gemara. So there's Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in Parshas Baloscha asks, Yeshua was right. It sounds like from the Gemara that he was wrong, that he made a mistake, but he didn't have any questions for him. He was with his Rebbe all the time for all the years. So he says, I have nothing to ask you. What was his mistake? So it explains Rav Yaakov, you're right, there was nothing. There was nothing that he didn't know specifically, but there was a message that Yoshua ben Nun needed to understand. And that's the idea of Shalshelas Hadoros. The idea of one generation further from Maimon Har Sinai is on a lower level. Moshe Kibal Torah Misinai is one generation. Then Misara Yoshua. Then Yoshua Lezakenim. Lezakenim Lenevim. Every generation further from the source is what we call in this Katnu Hadoros, is a little less connected. And therefore, that's why there's a concept of giving kavod to the Zakenim and to the previous generation. But says Rabbi Yaakov, Yeshua ben Nun needed to learn that lesson. And that's Dafka, he didn't do anything wrong. But Dafka, why? Siyata Deshmaya had it that there was halachos that were forgotten to realize you don't have the same clarity as Moshe Rabbeinu did. Yes, Asniel ben Kenaz got him back, right, with his pilpul, with his great hard work. But that's what the Yeshua ben Nun had to understand. And then Rabbi Yaakov says, that's why the Gemara asks in every Daf and Shas, how could Amora say this? It says it in the Mishnah, it says in the Brisa, how could he argue? What do you mean? Let him argue! The answer is the Mishnayos were a generation closer to the source. And therefore, an Amora is not allowed to argue on a Mishnah. Okay, there were stages of the Halacha. An Achron could argue on a Rishon, a later Achron, a previous Achron, but at least Tanam and Amorayin, Rabbi Yaakov writes, are something that we cannot lose sight of that idea that there is Niskatnu Hadoros. There is a Rashi. Rashi in Maseches Tainis. Rashi in Tainis Davdalad. What is Rashi doing there? The Gemara in Tainis Davdalad says there were three people who made requests from God, and they were really inappropriate requests because they were taking a big risk. The Gemara says, who are they? Eliezer Eben Abraham. Whichever woman gives me water will be the wife of Yitzchak. Could have been anybody. He took a risk. It worked out for him. Rivka came. Next one, Shaul. Shaul says, whoever kills Goliath will win my daughter's hand. Could have been anybody. Happens to be David. So David married Michal and Merav. And then the third one was Yiftach. Whatever walks out of my house first, I'm going to give as a carbon. He thought it was going to be an animal, ended up being his daughter. Right, Machlokas Rishonim, if he actually was Makrifer or not. The last Ramban in Vayikra discusses that. But those are the three. Asks Tosfos, asks Rashi, Tainis Daf Dalet, there's a fourth one. Right here, Kalev. Whoever defeats Kiryat Sefer will get my daughter. There's a fourth one. Why isn't that one on the list? Isn't that one on the list? So the Rashi there says, well, really, that Gemara, that story, these psukim don't really mean conquering. It really means whoever conquers, meaning whoever figures out and is the greatest Gadol Hador, and who has special Ruach HaKodesh. So, of course, he knew it was going to be Osniel. He knew it was going to be somebody who was worthy. Anyway, that's why this Rashi is, what Rashi is doing in Tainus Daf Dalet. But Rashi's lashon there is that Osniel got it back, but Ruach HaKodesh. That's a much-discussed Rashi. Because we know that in order to come to Psak, right, Lo Bashamayimi, the Gemara says about Metziah, right, based on the Pasuk at the end of the Torah. You get Paskin based on Ruach HaKodesh. If you get a sign, right, the story said that Ruchaim Velazhner tells over that the Vilna Gaon always had a Malach come to him at night to say, I want to give you secrets of the Torah. And the Ruach said, not interested, leave, I want to figure it out myself. Because you can't get Torah from on a silver platter. Right? You have to work for it. So that Rashi is much discussed by the Achronim. How Rashi could say Beruach HaKodesh. Okay, either way, let's just finish up. There's a conversation here that takes place that the Gemara also says is symbolic, where Achsa goes to Kalev and says, you gave me a land that there's no water, so he gave their wells. Right, it's all symbolic of relating to Torah. Okay, either way, let's just do one or two more points. If we look in the continuation of the Perek, we have the list of the cities. And Chazal pick up on in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, or Pasuk Lamed Beis, it says, these are 29 cities. And if you do the math, there are 38 cities on the list up until that point. So where does 29, 38? So the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Zayin, goes through that a lot of the names of these cities might be symbolic. Might not be real names of cities. So just to go through, the Gemara says, Pasuk Chav Beis, Kina, Dimona, Ad Ada. Right, three cities. So the Gemara says maybe those could be a mnemonic, a Rashi Tevis, Kina, Dimona, Admona, Kol Sheyesh La Kina Al Chaveiro. If somebody is jealous of their friend, Vidomein, but they silence themselves, they hold it in, Shochein Adead Oselodin. Hashem will go to bat for you. Meaning if you are jealous of somebody, so that's alluded to in these three words of Kina, and Dimona, and Ad Ada. And one other one that the Gemara says, Mishiesh lo tsa'akas legima al chaveiro. If you have a complaint against your friend, Vidomeim, and you're quiet, Shochein hasneh oselo din. Again, Hashem will go to bat for you. Again, so these cities might not be literally cities. It's interesting, though, that all of these are the borders of Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishmas Ozov says, maybe that's our schus to Eretz Yisrael, is if we could control ourselves with fighting with each other. Right, we got thrown out of Eretz Yisrael because of Sinas Chinam. The way to defend it and keep strong with it is not to have inner fighting amongst Am Yisrael, and that's something that we all have to work on. All the way at the end of the parak now, the last pasuk, Es Hayavusi Yoshvei Yerushalayim Lo Yuchlu or Lo Yachlu. Right, Kri Niksiv Bnei Yehuda were not able to drive them out. Rashi, the Radak, and others quote the Chazal. It doesn't mean they weren't able to. It means they weren't allowed to. Why? Because the grandchildren of Avimelech, who made the treaty with Avraham, that Avraham wouldn't fight the grandchildren of Avimelech, they were still alive. And these people in Yerushalayim were the descendants. In the times of David HaMelech, they already weren't alive anymore, and that's why David HaMelech was able to drive them out and then build the Beis HaMikdash. But at this stage, it could be that it's not that they weren't able to, but that they weren't allowed to. They weren't allowed to. And again, another discussion for Parshas Vayera, how could a treaty made by Avraham be binding on the children? He makes a private treaty. If there's a covenant made by a city, that's obligated on the descendants, because that's a tzibur thing. But Avram's a private person. How could he bind his grandchildren? Unless you say, suggest the Mishpat Zozov, quotes Achronim, that Avram Avinu was Am Yisrael. He was like a kolel. It wasn't just one person. Being an Av, he represented the entire Am. So it was as if it was a tzibur idea by his making the covenant with Avimelech. But either way, that's what Chazal darshan on the last pasuk in our parak, that they weren't allowed to, and that's why they stayed in Yerushalayim, the enemy, Ad Hayom Hazeh, which means until the times of Yoshua, until the times of David HaMelech, and then he came and drove them out. Okay, we'll stop here. Next time we'll continue with the next Shvatim, and those are the B'nai Yosef.